This podcast is powered by the insights of Euromonitor International.
Hi everyone, welcome to the Healthy Living Podcast. My name is Herbert Yam, the Research Manager of Euromonitor International in Hong Kong. Today I'm happy to have Amuya, a consultant from Bangalore, Julia, Senior Consultant from Sydney, and Rachel, Research Manager from Shanghai, to share with us the latest wellness trend in APAC. And hi, everyone. With the latest briefing that wrote by all three of you, I read that you are saying that the life expectancy in APAC increased over the historic period. How does this have anything to do with the consumer behavior, especially the health market?
Thank you for the introduction, Herbert. You know, I think that when people get older, health becomes a top priority for them. And they wish to stay fit even in their old age. And that's why senior consumers are really driving the demand for health and wellness. And it's influencing all aspects of consumer goods, including food, nutrition, and different activities.
Yeah, and I think the desire to be healthier is also changing the narrative of aging. Consumers are moving away from fighting the signs of aging to focusing on looking and feeling good at an age. And I think besides people's proactive adoption of wellness, additional years of healthy lives are also being gained as a result of government promotion initiatives, actually, such as Healthy Hong Kong 2025, Singapore's Lumi Health, Healthy China 20,000, and India's Right to Protein. Those initiatives have further supported consumers' desire to be healthier. And the pandemic as a catalyst accelerated a wider range of wellness-related trends. And they are reinforcing the importance of health as a priority, as well as the view of physical and mental well-being as an entire ecosystem.
Thank you, Julia and Rachel. This is very insightful. And, you know, the word about healthy aging, to me, is a big thing. But it also seems to be something about the elderly group of population. Is it actually what is happening in the health market, that elderly group is what they are aiming at? What does the longer longevity of customers in APAC actually mean to the overall health market?
I think that's something that it's important to keep in mind here is that the desire to be healthier is not really exclusive to this elderly group of consumers. In fact, all consumers across different age groups are searching for a healthier life. And this is driven by the desire to have like a good quality of life in the present, but also in the future. And also super relevant to highlight here is that this trend has also been supported by the World Health Organization, which has been encouraging a healthy and inclusive lifestyle at all stages of life. There is recognition among all of us that the influence of better choices in life, the earlier these are made, help to delay or prevent chronic illnesses in the future. And as you can imagine, COVID really accelerated a wide range of wellness-related trends and reinforced the importance of health as a priority, as well as the view of physical and mental well-being as an entire ecosystem.
So adding to what Julia said, there are specific products and categories which are targeted to specific consumer cohorts. However, to age healthily and gracefully, one must inculcate good habits from the outset. And therefore, multiple consumer cohorts, including millennials, use wellness products to stay healthy. Let me give you an example. So when it comes to beauty and personal care brands, which have come up with holistic skincare products, they are not targeting a specific age group. However, their products spread across age groups. So Solif is a Singapore-based brand, which is targeting active consumers exposed to skin health issues through sweating and exposure to sun and pollution while they work out. So just to reiterate, there are categories which target a wider consumer base.
Yeah, I think as Julia and Amuya mentioned, the target age groups can be quite diverse. But as consumers age, their needs, values, and priorities can shift. And so their health concerns and impact on their lives change at different life stages. For example, memory issues closely relate with becoming old, but young and middle-aged consumers might show higher levels of concern regarding stress, depression, and sleeping problems due to long working hours and even like financial and societal pressures. So it is also vital for a business to adopt an appropriate strategy to address the opportunities in aging and other issues, starting with identifying who and where to prioritize.
Right. Thank you, everyone. I mean, this is extremely important because I can see the topic of healthy aging actually covers a much wider scope than I have initially expected. And I also spotted that in the briefing. You mentioned about the three key pillars to identify the wellness opportunity in APAC. Could you briefly explain what they are and how you come up with these three pillars?
Thank you, Herbert. Well, the three pillars that we use as a framework for the analysis are mainly related to the main aspects that consumers are focusing on when they try to make better choices for their health and when they are attempting to create new healthy habits. If you think about it, the search for healthier lifestyles tend to influence what we eat and drink, how we perform and look physically, but also how we think and how we feel and behave. And also, looking at some of the results from Euromonitor's survey, we can see how across different age groups, the meaning of being healthy has really changed. And in 2021 edition, there was like really common themes across all age groups that included physical strength, eating, a balanced diet, and emotional well-being, all part of the definition of being healthy.
Right. Thank you, Julia. And I so in the briefing, you actually mentioned for a few times on the consumer rethinking or reconsidering their habit. I do understand that the COVID-19 pandemic have triggered several rethinking process about consumers. But what does it mean to the market, especially for the health market and linking to the healthy aging trend? What have changed consumer habit and what does it mean to the market players on this?
Well, consumers are reconsidering their eating habits as a preventive measure to keep themselves in good health and mainly looking to increase their intake of healthy nutrients. In 2021, when Euromonitor conducted the consumer survey, we found that more than half of the respondents across all age groups in Asia Pacific indicated that they actively look for healthy ingredients in food and drinks. And consumers are now more attentive to managing nutritional deficiencies and disease with products that address health concerns and link them back to specific foods. We also found that consumers are also seeking less processed and inherently more natural products. And all of these changes have led to companies to try to re-engineer product formulas and try to make shorter ingredient lists, but also remove and replace artificial ingredients with more natural products or ingredients, and also features or ingredients that incorporate well-known and traditional ingredients. So what this really has translated is that added benefits in the form of functional ingredients are becoming more and more accepted as a mean of promoting well-being, and it's also helping minimize nutritional gaps in the diet. So there is a real growing interest in preventing disease among older cohorts, and this is driving the demand for tailored products or more personalized product that target or address specific nutritional needs. For example, due to the nutritional value since 2020, we have seen milk-derived ingredients becoming a key functional ingredient. That is, food products that are addressing consumers' needs of the elderly. For example, they are products that target memory or bone health, mobility, immunity. So we found, for example, products launched by Kirin Holdings, Mild Dairies, and Nestle in China. And they are all competing with new products that address these needs for the elderly, such as Kirin's range with beta-lactoline the male dairy range that includes Value, Ayla Nutri F, and Nestle's China's range that includes probiotics and glucosamine.
Thank you, Julia. That is extremely interesting because I have to say, during the COVID-19, when we have less chance to do the exercise or outdoor activities, those functional ingredient and natural ingredient is indeed popular among the consumers. And yeah, very interesting point. And when we talk about the exercise, I saw there's another pillar, the physical wellness pillar in the briefing. And Amuya, could you briefly tell us what it is? And because I saw that it actually mentioned about consumer wish to feel and look healthy, but what's the difference between that and what does it mean to companies in the market?
Sure, Herbert. Thank you for the question. So firstly, let me define the pillar. It encompasses of two factors, one being the ability to carry out physical activity without pain, and other being their physical appearance. So Euromonitor's lifestyle survey highlights that there was an uptick in exercise routines in 2020 as well as 2021. Both the years had localized lockdowns in most geographies. This represents ample opportunity for companies to extend their sports nutrition and dietary supplement products. Moreover, developing nations are cognizant of the fact that their citizens suffer from various nutrition deficiencies. For example, the Indian government provides affordable protein powder to address protein deficiency and comparative unaffordability of available commercial brands. So companies can ride this wave or partner with government organizations in such geographies. Also, from the physical appearance perspective, consumers are no longer on the lookout for miraculous products with outrageous claims. Their focus has shifted to prevention and protection in healthy and beauty routines for physical appearance. So brands can target consumers with active lifestyles through holistic skincare products that tackle multiple issues. And as all these things happen, category lines continue to blur. So consumers are looking for products that can address multiple issues during this time.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Amuya. That is very interesting. I mean, consumer not only seeking for functional and natural ingredient, they are also seeking for multiple function product. That is something that I do believe business need to be aware of for sure. And Rachel, I want to ask you regarding the COVID-19 pandemic, because it actually disrupted the whole world, how business operate. Specifically, more and more people can now work from home. And would this improve the overall internal balance of consumer across APAC, as well as affect the demand on products that address mental health issues?
Yeah, thank you, Herbert, for the question. Definitely. And Asian consumers actually have prioritized more tangible issues such as the nutrition part before, and less on intangible sides like internal balance, which are related to which are measured by like mental health, memory, sleep, and stress. But the pandemic drives related behavior and lifestyle change fundamentally. For example, the fluctuating lockdown measures, the flexible working and learning arrangements, and even the political and economic turbulence have made consumers more stressful and anxious, and even start to question the difference in their lives. So like never before, it's like a wake-up call and heightened consumers' concerns regarding the internal balance concern. So expect that it would lead to prioritization of these issues in the long term, and the data also tells a similar story. According to Euromonitor's Voice of the Consumer survey, a high proportion of respondents in Asia see depression, memory, sleep, and stress issue as long-term future health concerns, more so than currently, and Asia also records the highest percentage among the globe. I think this suggests that consumers' interest in maintaining internal balance is obviously increasing, offering longer-term potential for companies to explore and invest in this area. And products with claims to boost feeling good, relaxation, and ease sleep and memory problems are likely to benefit. So, Amuya, you are the drinks expert in the region. Maybe you can comment a bit on the specific trends, like in food beverage.
Sure, Rachel. So when you look at Asia specifically, We do believe that compared to dietary supplements, which might attract sophisticated consumers in developed markets, fortified functional food and beverages are alternate solutions to help build daily prevention routines. Especially when you look at consumers who are less aware of dietary supplements due to either limited knowledge or they have concerns regarding overdosing. Similarly, snacks, confectionery, RTD, milk and dairy products are expected to gain wider traction in response to the blurring lines between wellness products and traditional food and beverages. So compared to dietary supplements, these formats are more familiar to consumers of all age and groups and tend to carry lower price tags also. I would like to highlight a few examples. So functional chocolate is growing in Japan, which targeted functionalities such as sleep, health and memory. And however, despite it being an untapped white space, efficacy remains a major challenge to justify the price. Similarly, plant-based ingredients from traditional Chinese medicine and Indian-born Ayurveda, botanical extracts, and dairy-derived ingredients are also crucial in attracting consumers in the region. One should also not forget that when it comes to these mental issues, it's still a taboo subject, and a lot of people are reluctant to seek professional services like seeing a doctor or counselor. So I would like to highlight some of the challenges regarding that. One was restriction of on-site services caused by fluctuating stay-at-home measures have given rise to a lot of telehealth in the post-COVID-19 new normal. So let me give you an example of a geography like India. Before the pandemic, according to an estimate, India had one doctor to 100,000 mental health special. Now, this is a very damning statistic because it highlights a severe gap of mental health professionals. Also, the doctor's presence is majorly skewed towards metros and tier one cities. Therefore, some of the new age companies with their innovative solutions can help utilize the gap and extend mental health products through their online model coupled with AI-based technologies in order to address accessibility as well as scalability. So digitalization of such services can be a key post-pandemic can be significantly increase accessibility and reduce costs while being an engaging approach to attract the young consumer cohort.
Thank you, Rachel and Amuya. This is extremely important. I mean, the health, mental health issue is more than I have expected. And I would say everyone, including consumer and companies in APEC, do need to know about this. And now we know that we are in the light of the COVID-19 recovery. And COVID is no longer the only concern what we have in this region. We also have inflation. We also have a global stagflation that is coming up. Hopefully not as severe as the COVID-19 pandemic over the past 2 years. But may I ask each of you, what is your opinion on the outlook of the health market in APEC?
What an interesting question, Herbert. We had the opportunity to use different tools developed by Euromonitor to really understand what were the prospects of this megatrend. And we use specifically the megatrend index, which help us quantify the impact of different megatrends, like in this case, wellness. And we can see definitely potential for the wellness market in Asia Pacific. We notice growth in the region is being supported by macro factors, including the growing middle classes, population aging, higher consumer interest in healthy lifestyle, like I mentioned before. But there is also the regulatory and public health initiatives that have been crucial in supporting the current growth of the wellness market.
Yeah, as Julia mentioned, the outlook is quite positive from the mega trend index perspective and even like a qualitative perspective. And we think that Asia's Pacific stands out with a strong and deeply embedded culture of traditional healing and holistic wellness. And this actually demonstrates a significant opportunity for commercializing both local and international wellness-oriented concepts in the majority of the rapidly expanding markets across the region. And beyond the opportunities for the elderly population, on the back of increasing life expectancy and the aging demographics in developed markets like Japan and South Korea, the increasing adoption of and readiness to spend on wellness products among younger consumers in less developed markets like Southeast Asia and India makes the overall market in Asia-Pacific ripe for reinvention and significant value expansion.
Also, adding to what Julia and Rachel said, let me give you a localized view. So if you look at India, which is the home to Ayurveda, it has always understood the importance of using traditional and natural ingredients, which is a theme across all the modern wellness products. However, one challenge that these developing economies have is that companies need to address the issue of accessibility. As we learn to live with the virus, we have seen that many markets have already seen a decline in hygiene products. And there is a fear that if the incomes continue to be stressed, then this might happen with wellness products as well. So this, coupled with high inflation, can hinder the demand for wellness products in some of the developing regions. However, as my colleagues have highlighted, the overall outlook is positive for these products.
Thank you, everyone. And thank you for all the fruitful sharing. I hope everyone can learn the opportunity and the challenge associated with the longevity trend and in the wellness market in APAC.
If you'd like to read more about healthy living claims in the APAC region or watch a free webinar about products using health claims to attract customers, check out the links in the description below or visit euromonitor.com/insights for the most up-to-date resources for your business.